Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the East West Wrestling Connection. I am Robert Sodeman, alongside the Goodwill Ambassador, and should I say Tom E. Heyman, stalker to the world, Nikki Heyman.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Oh, I know what you're trying to get to not... forget it. I screwed up the joke.
That's all right. I'm the one who screwed it up for you. And it seems I have another relative in Tom E. Heyman. But I will hope to interact with him further on that when I see him in Charleston, West Virginia in a couple of weeks.
Can't wait to hear about that story. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be discussing the results of Cyber Sunday, Raw on its continued downward spiral, and the craziness that is the TNA X Division battling against Team 3D. We, of course, start with Cyber Sunday, which, not unlike most B or C level WWE pay-per-views, underwhelmed and underdelivered.
I disagree. I didn't think it was that horrible of a pay-per-view. While admittedly I missed two of the matches, I found what I saw at the show very good. My only disappointment was that we did not have a resolution to the Save Us promos.
Why am I not surprised?
But with the new codes coming out on this past Raw, I'm not terribly upset. I enjoy the journey just as much as I do the destination.
I can believe that. So let's get started. Oh, by the way, if you guys want to interact and talk to us, it's actually quite simple. All you got to do is just call into 646-716-9678 and ask us anything that you care to know about in the world of wrestling this week. Sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Please call. We're bored.
Yeah. What she said. Anyway, let's get started with a dark match. Jesse and Festus.
Ah, yes. Let's see. Whom did they face? I didn't have that information in front of me.
I do right now. I have the actual card.
Okay.
I came prepped. Turns out that they beat Deuce and Domino. Talk about a downward spiral for those two.
Well, I'm not sure why that would happen, although Jesse and Festus seems to be their new pet project. However, that team will die a slow death once somebody starts playing with a ring bell.
That will completely screw up the gimmick.
Absolutely, but anybody who has seen the routine on an old Three Stooges will recognize what's going to happen down the line.
Uh-huh. Anyway... first match of the night, and I'm not sure why they put this match first. The stretcher match.
I was disappointed that it came out to be a stretcher match. This feud, if you want to call it that, wasn't ready for something that severe. I had voted for the Shillelagh on a pole match. Even though we did end up with the stretcher match, we still ended up doing everything.
Yes, I would have preferred the... Shillelagh on a pole match. It'd be vintage Vince Russo, but that's another story for another day.
The match itself wasn't all that disappointing. I was a little surprised, and watching it the second time, do you recall at the near the end of the match when Ray tried to bring the stretcher up to the finish line, and it got skewed because of a camera cable?
Uh-huh.
That looked to be a prankster at work because the camera cable was tied to the stretcher.
Boy, couldn't have made it more blatantly obvious, huh?
I would think that it wouldn't be that hard to tangle a camera cord around the stretcher, but I won't complain all that loud. I didn't think it was a bad opener. It was an interesting choice for an opener, but it wasn't a bad one.
Mm-hmm. Anyway... a little sad news to come out of the match. It was supposed to be a Montel Vontavious Porter versus Matt Hardy for the U.S. title. Unfortunately, they had to pull him because of an injury he suffered previously on SmackDown.
17 stitches?
Yep. I think that was it. So, we'll get to what happened to MVP later. Then we get to the ECW World title match, Punk versus one of these three. Here are your choices. John Morrison, The Miz, or Big Daddy B?
I voted for Morrison. The final result, of course, was Miz. And while I'm not a huge fan of his, I think I understand the fans' thought on why he ended up facing Punk. Nobody wants to see Big Daddy V for any reason. Punk Morrison, we've seen several times already. And while they never fail to disappoint, yes, we have seen that probably two or three too many times. So Miz was kind of a, well, we haven't seen it yet.
New face.
I was a little surprised that nobody else got involved in the match. I was expecting Balls Mahoney to come down to screw Miz. I was expecting Morrison to come down and screw Miz. I was expecting Big Daddy V to come down and kill everybody.
I was secretly hoping that. Big Daddy V coming in to kill everybody. So now we get to a non-title match. As you know, the big voting came down to Shawn Michaels, Mr. Kennedy, and Jeff Hardy for the world title, and who would get to face Randy Orton for the title. Michaels won, so Kennedy and Jeff Hardy get a match together.
Which was something I pretty much called. There was no way they were not going to have Jeff Hardy and or Kennedy not perform at this pay-per-view. I was a little surprised that the Intercontinental title was not put on the line.
It should have been, though.
I agree. I think that would have been a wonderful addition to the show. It was still a good match. I have some cynical friends who would say, oh, let's put those two in the ring and let them blow spots together. No.
Can't do that.
No.
So now we get to the U.S. title match. And what's happening is Montel Vontavious Porter was given three choices of opponents. Kali, Mark Henry, or Kane.
Were you surprised with the result?
Nope. No surprise at all. Kane got 67% of the voting. And I'm completely not surprised that MVP wins by count out.
But to his credit, this was pretty much in character. MVP has dealt a lot with Kane at the beginning of the year and late last year, so he knew exactly what he was getting into.
Exactly.
I also applaud WWE for having a during-the-pay-per-view poll. I realize it was kind of a, well, we didn't have much of a choice because Matt Hardy was in no shape to go out there.
I understand that. Now we get to the WWE title match, Michaels versus Orton.
Just a quick comment about Michaels. Shawn Michaels has won every poll he's been put into through Cyber Sundays and Taboo Tuesdays. This was a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. And you know what was another no-brainer?
What's that?
Orton retaining the title by bad means.
Granted, but I understand that Orton had a wonderful showing in this match. This was one of the few times that he actually decided to shine. I try not to be terribly critical of him. But I was told that he did very well this time around.
Uh-huh. Now we get to a street fight. Actually, Triple H versus Umaga. It was supposed to be either a street fight, first blood match, or a steel cage match.
I'm pleasantly surprised that it wasn't a cage match. Voted first blood myself.
I voted street fight.
I missed most of this match, but the last few minutes, what I saw was excellent.
Yes. Triple H ducked the Samoan spike, used the sledgehammer to Umaga's head, and then nailed him with his try-and-true pedigree to ensure victory.
Which, you know, again, well, then again, I'm a Triple H fan, so he rarely disappoints when I see him in the ring.
Uh-huh. Next, we get to the biggest mess in the world. And I'm not kidding about this one. the WWE Diva Halloween Costume Contest.
They were the vignettes were entertaining to start, but I don't know. Then again, I was absolutely in stitches over Victoria. I really think she should have won that one.
Who is she, Yokozuna or Mr. Fuji?
She was Yokozuna, and Kenny Dykstra was Mr. Fuji.
comedy gold. However,
go ahead.
Mickey James wins by being a Native American. Kelly got second by being a gangster. Or gangster, excuse me. You know what I loved about this thing after reading about it?
What's that?
Cole, JBL, and Jerry Lawler just put this thing over, hyped it up like Tony Schiavone did a pay-per-view. Guess what Jim Ross did?
He looked at their shoes. That's his usual MO. Oh, wait.
No. You're thinking Mark Madden. He called it the worst Halloween costume contest he's ever seen in his life.
Did he actually say bowling shoe ugly? I wasn't listening.
Yep.
Good.
Now we get to the World Heavyweight title match. And
right.
I bet you loved the ending.
I loved the ending in the sense that Stone Cold Steve Austin kept himself less obtrusive. He didn't go out there and do what he did at Mania.
True that. He just stunned JBL and Foley.
That frustrated me a little bit, but I'll let it slide. Having him out there, though, my only other complaint was he had another brand new shirt.
Oh, God. How many does that make over his tenure at WWE?
500? I'm not sure. Maybe I'm counting unlicensed ones, but he has hundreds of shirts. Somebody, please listen to me. Give him a retread. If he's only going to show up for one night, give him a retread shirt and put new shirts out for the guys that deserve it, the guys that are actually there every single week. I don't care how much money Austin made them in 1999.
Like, Jeff Hardy needs a new t-shirt. Matt Hardy would benefit from a t-shirt. How about Punk?
I would like to see Punk get a third shirt, for sure. Jeff Hardy, I'd love to have him have his own shirt separate from Matt's, although they did put out a club shirt with the Hardy logo on the back. I did see that recently. Can we get a shirt for Caden Murdoch? Can we get a shirt for, can we get another shirt for the self-proclaimed world's greatest tag team? I think I stand corrected. They've never had a shirt.
Nope, they never did.
Deuce and Domino still don't have a shirt. The Major Brothers, let's get them a shirt.
No, not the Major Brothers. But I don't think Deuce and Domino would look great with a shirt. You know what they need?
What do they need?
Leather jackets.
And
Deuce and Domino leather jackets.
At about $150 a pop. I'm not sure they would sell very well.
They could be fake leather jackets. They would sell for like, I don't know, $30-$40.
Maybe.
All right. And that ends Cyber Sunday. I just want to do a quick rundown of one match, and that was the Diva Halloween Costume Contest. Mickey James is a Native American. Tori Wilson as a Washington Redskins football player. I'm not surprised her leg didn't break like Joe Theismann's.
Now. Comment from online. Elijah Burke could use a shirt.
Yeah, the Elijah Experience. How long has he been on TV? About has to be over a year and a half.
At least that, because he started with managing Turk High. That lasted,
I don't know why Türkay got released. I really don't know why.
It's my understanding that he was having trouble grasping the concept of professional wrestling.
Ah, now that I can understand. However, when I saw him, he looked pretty decent. They booked him the right way. He should have just gone out there, you know, squashed a couple of jobbers here and there, like what he did the first time.
Right.
And then, you know, slowly build him up to a feud. You know what I loved?
What's that?
He didn't want to fight Burke. Burke would fight for him.
Let's see. Another comment comes in. I'm sorry.
The best part of this was Türkay was scheduled to fight Rey Mysterio. He just looked at him, said, "Nope, don't want him." Burke was like, "You serious?" I said, "Yep, don't want him. Do I get to have him?" "Yep." "Yeah!" And he would lose about 5-10 minutes later.
Let's see. Another comment comes in. If Big Daddy V had a shirt, maybe he'd actually wear it. We could only hope.
Comedy gold right there. Fabulous.
But I continue to interrupt you. I apologize.
Nah, I'm done. So now we get from a really decent WWE pay-per-view to a lackluster Raw.
You think?
Yep. Who knew that the best part of the night was the first thing when we had a Divas Halloween Battle Royal, reusing the same outfits as last night, except for one difference.
And that was?
Tori Wilson's outfit.
Well, they were in a different city. They didn't want her to get booed.
Exactly. So she put on a Philadelphia Eagles uniform.
Mm-hmm.
She still got booed. Boo.
Now.
You know what's odd about this one?
What's that?
Kelly won the match.
Which is unusual.
But you know what the best part was?
Victoria.
Nope. Beth Phoenix comes out.
Destroys
Kelly.
I was thinking with Cyber Sunday that the costume contest was going to be something that was actually in the ring. Beth Phoenix did on Raw what I was expecting her to do at Cyber Sunday.
And sadly, that would turn out to be one of the best parts of the night. However, there are some heat tapings that I found interesting.
Right.
Snitsky's back on heat tapings. He's now finally healed.
Well, heat is where he belongs right now. He's just not a very effective monster.
Right. How about this one? Atlas DaBone gets a dark match.
I've seen his work in OVW. He has excellent energy.
He would work as a face.
Very much so. Oh, very much so. He's a face in Ohio Valley.
I think he should go to SmackDown because they're in need of some new faces.
They can have him first. I want to save Colt Cabana and Matt Sydal for, oh, I don't know. I'd like to send Sydal to ECW personally.
Yeah. Ron Simmons is continuing to wrestle, which I think is good.
No, it's good to see him back in the ring. I'm glad that he's giving it another go.
Yes. Hopefully he could get another, you know, title out of this.
Do you think he would be around long enough and get enough behind him to contend for the IC title? I can't see him going all the way to the A belt.
No, I think either IC or tag title.
Well, then Bradshaw has to get out from behind the announce position. Oh, wait.
No. Keep him there, unless he gets the GM of Raw position. Anyways, main event for that, Highlanders defeating Hacksaw and Super Crazy. Now that's a face tag team.
Absolutely.
Yes. Highlanders, they royally messed up the gimmick yet again.
I found it odd that they were trying to turn them before they went on the UK tour.
Yeah.
They lost some serious face heat for these guys. I'm not happy with that.
How about this? Since we're on the subject of tag teams, how about Hardcore Holly and Cody Rhodes?
I like the way it's being built. It's not they're slowly forming into a working tag team. At least it's not Hardcore Holly killing Cody Rhodes every week like we started. Mr. Pay Your Dues is actually going to end up in a mentor's role with Cody at this rate.
Yeesh. Anyway, them getting Beth Phoenix some mic time.
She needs it. She needs all the training she can get on the mic.
Beth Phoenix said Candice Michelle tried so hard to prove that she was more than just another pretty face, and it turns out she's just another pretty face.
I don't wish injury on anyone, although I am happy that Candice Michelle had dropped the women's title before this all came down. I hope that she does heal soon, but I hope that when they do bring her back, they work her back up. She has gotten better in months, but improving is not a word you use for a women's champion.
Right. Anyway, let's see what else we got here. How about another love angle to warm up the mood?
I was wondering if that was going to turn into the love rhombus. So for some reason, it reminded me of Jericho, Christian, Trish, and Alita.
Now we'd have to throw in another woman in there because it's Mickie James and Trevor Murdoch.
Well, to be fair, Lita kind of dropped out of the angle. So what we really need is to see if Cade wants to start macking on Mickie.
That I'd accept that.
Which I think would actually be kind of fun, because I was amused at the fact that Mickie even showed semi-interest in Murdoch the Cable Guy. I mean, Trevor Murdoch. I'm worried, and at first I thought, I just think it's a one-shot deal. I'm worried this is going to lead to the break of the Cowboys.
God, I hope not.
I hope not either, because Cade, unfortunately, should be career tag team. I liked his work when it was him and Jindrak. And
yeah,
Murdoch...
I remember when they actually stole the $100,000 briefcase when Triple H put the hit on Goldberg.
That was some very entertaining television. I'm sorry that they didn't do more with it. And didn't do more with that aspect of these two. There was so much they could have done with that.
Yes. Actually, back then when Lance Cade was Garrison Cade.
Indeed. Although he was already showing signs of his cowboy leanings. It was around that time. I remember seeing him in a singles match with Tajiri at a house show.
Yeah.
He came out in trunks and he had cowboy boots on.
Woohoo! Yeehaw!
And
oh,
a few of us yelled at him, Shawn Michaels wants those back.
No kidding. We get to a grudge match now.
Hmm.
Hornswoggle and Coach. Ironically, the best match Coach has put on ever since Bad Blood 04.
Actually, I was gonna mention Backlash 04, but you're right. It was further. Bad Blood was further down. I was fortunate enough to see Coach Eugene in person.
And you got some cookies out of the deal.
I did. I walked out with a cookie that came off of that tray late in the match. I wasn't the doofus who sold it on eBay.
How much did that cookie go for, by the way?
I don't recall. I do remember hearing that somebody put theirs on eBay, and I think they might have gotten $5 out of it.
Poor sap.
I got a late night snack. Anyway,
Tummy. Hornswoggle hit the tadpole splash, which, i.e. the frog splash. I'd rather prefer it be a leprechaun bomb.
Well, somebody, they also speculated calling it the toad splash.
On that note, Lance Cade beats Paul London, and the Highlanders decide to beat up London and Kendrick to set up that feud.
Well, I can understand. This is where there's a little bit of logic in the Highlanders' heel turn. They've been trying so hard to get a tag title shot that they had to get more aggressive. But We have heel tag teams in the Cowboys and the self-proclaimed world's greatest tag team. And we have our face team. We have our face team in London and Kendrick.
Yeah, I don't get the mix.
So, you know, if we put all four of those teams in the ring, London and Kendrick will be stomped flat once they're caught.
True, true.
Which is a shame.
We should take this time to tell you, if you guys want to call in, 646-716-9678. We'd love to hear from you and your questions.
Now, you skipped over a segment, which I was kind of surprised. Shawn Michaels coming out and demanding a rematch with Randy Orton and making a rather unusual comment about how the blow that caused the DQ at Cyber Sunday had to have been an aimed shot.
Uh-huh. What really impressed me is that Shawn Michaels superkicked Vince, but personally missed him by a few inches.
Oh, no. It was a threat. It wasn't meant to connect.
Hmm.
He was simply kicking out a warning to Vince, because Vince kind of gave in a little too easily on that rematch.
Exactly.
And Sean knows better.
Yes. How about this one? Last week, we saw the debut of Harry the Bulldog Smith.
Baby Bulldog.
Yes. Unfortunately, this week, he's just called D.H. Smith with plain red trunks and generic rock music for an entrance, totally botching the already planted face pops that he could get by saying that he's the British Bulldog's son and by playing Hail Britannia as his theme.
The one thing that surprised me is that they waited 1 week too long. I expected him to debut when they were overseas.
That would have been the perfect time to debut. That would have been the perfect time.
They referred to him as D.H. Smith the week he debuted as well. It was explained on this Raw that it meant Davy Hart Smith, referring to Davy as in Bulldog, the original Bulldog, and Hart and the fact that he is tied into the Hart family line,
yep.
Which unfortunately Hart Foundation 2.0 isn't happening. Thank you, Teddy Hart.
What do you expect? It's Teddy Hart. He's got more ways to screw up stuff more than Matt Hasselbeck does throwing interceptions.
Now.
I take that back. Not Matt Hasselbeck. Oh, God. Who is the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins again?
I couldn't tell you. I'm not allowed to watch Miami anything as a graduate of Florida State.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Anyway, and what happens to be turning into one of my favorite segments on Raw, Santino Marella on the microphone.
Santino is amazing on the microphone, and I loved his parody of Austin for The Condemned. For anyone who's looking around, there is a picture of Ass Whip out there. It's on a mayonnaise jar.
Yes, covering a can of Miracle Whip. Anyway, Santino Marella scolded the WWE Travel Department for not sending him to Cyber Sunday to kick Stone Cold Steve Austin's tiny butt. And that he can open up a can of the ass whip and completely douse him with it and kick a mud pie in his Rudy Poo candy butt. Oh, wait.
Mud pie.
And then the best part. Maria comes down and told Santino that she found out Stone Cold Steve Austin was going to be on Raw, on Monday Night Raw next week. Uh-oh. I bet it's just going to be a stunner and out of there.
Probably. I noticed they just don't want to do much with Santino in the ring.
Which is understandable, because from what I've seen of Santino on Raw, great on the microphone, but a little lackluster in the ring.
You think he'll end up as a manager? I mean, we might need an interpreter when Vladimir Kozlov comes up.
Yeah. And we'll just skip the Diva search, because nobody gives a rat's ass about that.
Although, congrats to Eve, and thank you, WWE, for making it mostly internet, and for making all of your participants this year at least women with athletic backgrounds.
And main event handicap match, Orton Umaga defeat Triple H by DQ when Shawn Michaels interfered. And we get a DX reunion next week. However, after the disqualification of Triple H off air, now this is sort of when it was off the air, Triple H and HBK got Umaga and Orton back in the ring and proceeded to whoop on them. Synchronized pedigree and sweet chin music.
It's called sending them home happy.
Mm-hmm. They proceeded to do DX signature poses and second taunts. The DX music played in the area and fans chanted, DX, DX. Wait, and then they say this, and I quote, for the thousands in attendance and millions watching, wait, we're not live anymore. So for the millions who are watching but aren't now, Vince comes down tries to get him out of the ring, but DX is not flashed and taunts Vince like the good old days, i.e. back in 2006, or go further back in 97. Triple H says Vince is in a hurry to get home because a very large rooster waiting for him. Wait a minute. He's in possession of the gobbledygooker outfit, right?
Oh, dear. This is the right time of year for them to pull that out again, too.
And since we all know that Vince loves the, air quote, cocks. But we all know that it's truly Pat Patterson that loves the cocks.
Now. Although, I realize that, but props back to Triple H for his promo a couple of months ago about Vince the Animal Lover.
Mm-hmm. Yow. Regal comes out, and also here Vince storms the ring, only to have Vince weasel out. Surprise, surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And Regal actually gets beat down, and a final pedigree puts him out. DX does more poses, and the crowd leaves happy and joyous.
Yay. And there was much rejoicing. Yay.
Much rejoicing can be had. Speaking of that,
yay.
We jump from, you know who we missed last night, and they sort of teased it? Save Us X29.
Or are you talking about the new video?
Let's talk about the new video. The old video said Save Us X29. Sort of teasing 10/29, and that will have something magical happen.
But alas, that magic has not happened. For the new message is out. Break the code.
And I also saw the number 19.
Yes. Now, I did a little extrapolating of my own. This 19 could refer to November 19th, which is the Monday after Survivor Series.
That's what I'm betting on, too. And that would be perfect for Jericho, because it would be coming off of a big pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
It could start some new fresh storylines to set up for WrestleMania, or Royal Rumble, or just a stupid blow-off for Armageddon.
Let's see. Let me see if I can find my notes on it. Crap, I thought somebody had posted the video.
You know what? Let's get into something we hardly talk about.
All right.
Let's talk some OVW.
All right. I can talk some OVW.
All right. Let's see what we got here. We have a new TV champion.
I heard.
Called Boom Boom Cabana.
Which I find awesome. But then again, I've been converted to a Colt Cabana fan, not only from watching him work with Jimmy Jacobs, but watching all of his duplicity, especially at the OVW quote-unquote house show recently when it was him, Atlas DeBone, and Jacob Duncan.
Yes, you went to that show, right?
I was at that show. I did not go to the show on Wednesday. I could not get out there in time. I did have several invitations, especially after a rather amusing event at ECW Tuesday night regarding Tommy Dreamer and a costume match.
You know what the odd thing was?
What's that?
Listen to this. Last week, Sean Spears recaptured the OVW TV title from Ted the Trailer McNaylor.
I hate that kid. Don't ask me why. I got a Miz vibe off of him, and I just wanted to jump in the ring and slap him.
He's like Mikey Whipwreck without the charisma.
They also call him Man Beast, and I know another Man Beast who would object to that.
Gore! Gore! Gore!
I would pay a lot of money to watch it happen.
Me too. Anyway. You know more about this than I do. What the hell is the insurgency?
The insurgency? Oh, that must be Mike Cruel's stable.
Oh.
Mike Cruel, Milena Roca... Sean Spears is tangentially involved. Vladimir Kozlov is his muscle.
Well, Los Lucas and Atlas DeBone beats him and Kozlov. I remember when I still have the DVDs in my on my bookshelf right now. With all the Vladimir Kozlov promos from SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's great about this? They had both MVP's promos and Vladimir Kozlov's promos going.
Hmm.
And the best part is they had Vito call out MVP.
Ah.
What's shocking is that when is Vito's induction coming to WrestleCrap?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I gotta write it.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I'm gonna do another thing for WrestleCrap. I gotta check and see if it's up now, updated now.
Alright.
The update's not quite ready yet, so it should be up shortly. Actually, it'll be up tomorrow morning.
All right.
That'll be fun for everybody. On that note.
Yes.
You know what's been really annoying me for a while now?
Yeah,
I'm watching TNA. And we get... Team 3D pissed off because they lost to the Steiner Brothers. And they're taking it out on the X Division. I thought this would set up a great feud between Motor City Machine Guns, who are getting face pops. And are supposed to be like heelish.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't working. And they attack the X Division guys the week after they beat down Sabin Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't quite compute with me.
I'm actually more amused by the statement that we're going to take out the X Division because we can.
Didn't Kevin... You know how long it's been since somebody else tried to do that?
I thought Kevin Nash was going in there to save it when he converted Jay Lethal to Black Machismo and then attempted to make Sanjay Dutt into, what was the word I was going to use?
Oh, three gimmicks. Oz, Vinny Vegas, and Diesel.
Well, those two, but when the one they finally came up with.
Oh, the Guru.
Yes, Guru. I'm sorry.
Aji! Oh, God. God bless
that. It is rather off-putting, and I'm not allowed to blame Russo for this one.
What, for the Haji gimmick?
No, for Team 3D deciding that they're not actually going to go after the Steiner brothers.
No, you go after Dutch Mantel.
Oh, all right.
Because, ironic as it seems, Russo is not doing much as of late in TNA. It's mainly Mantell.
Hmm.
Let's face it, it was pretty useless back in WCW when he was announcing in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even help them out that much when they were on Family Feud.
Speaking of that, the WWE Family Feud should be airing here, what is it, next week?
Yeah, next week.
I'm surprised, you know, you explained it to me before, but the fact that King Booker and Charmel are on it, I am surprised that WWE has not gone out there and said, take those down.
Oh, it's simple. Because these episodes were taped long before Charmel and King Booker were suspended for that period of time. And however, the episodes are owned by Denbar Mercury and Pierce of Fremantle. Therefore, they have all rights and responsibilities to those two said episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Vince can try all he wants, but he cannot stop them from airing originally. He can, however, stop them from doing reruns.
Okay.
So once they air originally, they can be told not to air them again. However, since the episode's already in the can, and plus Fremantle's other show, Temptation, is deeply in the shit, they would need to promote Family Feud like hell. And I hate to get off topic of wrestling and talk about game shows, but I must.
Uh-oh.
Have you seen the new Price is Right yet?
The Drew Carey episodes?
Yeah.
I have not, because I'm typically not home when it airs.
He's really good.
That's good to hear. That's a very large pair of shoes that he had to fill.
Well, here's the thing. He's not pretending to be Bob Barker.
That's a good start.
Really good start. They also did a Halloween special. Not just Halloween Showcase, but a whole Halloween show.
Excellent.
And now we get back to wrestling.
Yes.
You know what also is confusing me right now and it's making me kind of sad right now?
And that is?
Nigel McGuinness.
What about him?
He's injured and he's got the title. Torn bicep out for at least 2 months.
If it's a torn bicep, he's going to be out longer than 2 months.
Well, it's not that bad of a tear. So with some rehab, he should be back before Final Battle 2007.
Mm.
He was scheduled to have a long run with the belt. However, I think they might do the right thing, sadly, and put the title back around Amdrag. I.e., I am looking good in drag.
Well, that's probably a less nicer thing than what I usually say about him, but...
The American drag queen, Bryan Danielson?
I have gotten in so much trouble by saying that I'm not a fan of his.
I'm not either.
I've never understood that. I am not a fan of his. He is an infinitely slappable heel, which is probably in his favor. But he is not best in the world, as they like to say. I would have rather saved my roll of toilet paper to throw at him and not Jimmy Reid when I was at Survival of the Fittest last year.
Aha! But then again, wasn't he fighting Joe last year?
Yes, and I demanded 5 more minutes of that match, and Joe was more than happy to do 5 more minutes of that match. They just wouldn't let them.
Well, what do you expect? They had to let Delirious and Matt Sydal had it out, or as Delirious would like to say, bye, 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 blah, 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 blah.
In my playings on YouTube, I came across Chris Jericho speaking to Delirious. I
found
that. That was an excellent video.
Yep. Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Speaking of people that should be coming back, Scott Hall.
Is he in shape?
Yes.
Okay. The last time I saw him, his hair was gray, and he looked like Vegas years.
Youch. He is actually going to be doing some stuff with TNA.
Mm-hmm.
They want to revive the Outsiders, which I think is good. I might be in the minority of this, but I think this could be a good move. Because think about it. You would get great... Because Hall and Nash can still do it on the mic. They haven't lost that.
Right.
It'd be worth it just for the great promos they'll be able to cut. Matches might be a little lacking, but then again, they also could have great people to bring up. And this could bring up a great new version of the NWO. Think about this. Hall, Nash, Saban, Shelley.
It'd be interesting, but I don't know. I worry about that. Of course, you know, the fact that even WWE is guilty of this, especially since next week is practically Attitude Night. That if they really start pushing the Outsiders, or scarier still, if the Outsiders get crazy over.
Mm-hmm.
And end up crazy over the homegrown talent. TNA has really got to watch their step with that.
By the way, you're a video gamer, right?
Somewhat.
Have you ever heard of a game called Zombies Ate My Neighbors?
That's an old Super Nintendo title, and it's actually it was a bit of a sleeper.
It was a great game.
That's what I mean. It was a great game that a lot of people didn't know much about.
But the sad part is, somebody had the gall to badmouth this game.
Who?
Look up on YouTube and search Irate Gamer. A guy by the name of Chris Boers.
I will skip that because I haven't played the game myself, so I can't form an opinion.
I have. It's a fantastic game. If you beat that game, you have, as Gordon Ramsay likes to call, large, gigantic bollocks, and you use them properly. I'm starting to become more of a Gordon Ramsay, Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares fan than I am a game show fan.
Ah. I was enough of a gamer during the heyday of the 16-bit wars that I knew a few other sleeper hits myself.
And those would be?
For the Genesis. the best game ever produced was Treasure's Gunstar Heroes.
Yes! I played the sequel.
I never got my hands on the sequel, but the original, when I was still working for a video game store at the time, we had the Japanese version, and we almost killed this cartridge.
Let me guess. That hard.
Well, that's no, that was just how much we were playing it. I mean, two of us almost got fired we were playing it so much. But not only do I have the cartridge. I have the American cartridge. I have a Japanese cartridge. I also dropped $35 during that time and bought the soundtrack.
Wow. Now that's dedication.
The Gunstar Anthem is a beautiful piece of work. If you like techno music, this might be something you want to look for.
Me?
The rest of the stage music, especially the dice game, the game board.
Yes. Here's the thing. I want to try to buy a Sega Genesis and get Gunstar Heroes again.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, let's see here. Another great... How about this one? Rocket Knight Adventures.
I played a little bit of that, and I was actually... I was suitably impressed. I couldn't dedicate a lot of time to it. I enjoyed that one. What was the other one?
Sparkster. Sparkster was the sequel.
Yes. What was the other one that I just that one reminded me of another title, but I'm not sure if I'm remembering it correctly. Gargoyle.
Gargoyle.
Not Goliath gargoyles, but there was a gargoyle character.
Oh God. Oh. I know it's not coming to me. How about Star Tropics?
I never played it, but I understand it wasn't horrible.
Star Tropics was a fine game. Star Tropics 2, on the other hand. Nah. Let's see. Well, the reason we're talking about video games is because there's that much wrestling news going on right now.
Although, if you want to tie them together, the latest issue of WWE Magazine has a nice little write-up about the Raw vs. SmackDown 2008. They also put up pictures of the wrestler and a screen cap of them. And if you're not paying attention... It's hard to tell the difference.
Yeah. You could say the same thing about TNA's latest video game. They got the graphics on the thing down pat. You should see Joe. They even got his fat rolls looking good.
Now.
I'm just quoting my Game Informer magazine. Anyways... What's sad to me about the TNA video game is that they only got 20 characters.
Mm.
You know, they got all the main event players, you know, Angle, Sting, Cage, Joe, Abyss, AJ Styles, Tomko, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably throwing a couple of the tag teams. I'm thinking maybe the Steiners and Team 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Sabin Shelley, they're gamers too. Maybe Kevin Nash. Maybe some X Division guys like Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, Senshi, Christopher Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that. And we get to say that the latest batch of wrestling video games can turn out to be really, really good. But it still will not be my favorite wrestling video game of all time.
And that was?
WWF Royal Rumble for the Super Nintendo. Listen to this for a card of wrestlers and tell me if you can find a bum in the bunch.
All right.
You can, though. Probably one or two, but the rest are good. Macho Man Randy Savage.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Tatanka.
Mm-hmm.
Crush.
All right.
Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
The Narcissist Lex Luger. Yokozuna. Razor Ramon. And Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, there might be a bum in there somewhere.
I think it might be Tatanka.
I was going to make a snide remark about Scott Hall, but I'll be nice.
Uh-huh. Genesis version was a little bit of a cop-out because that was WrestleCrap Central.
Mm.
With Rick Martel and Papa Shango and IRS. The difference is they got Hacksaw Jim Duggan in there and Hulk Hogan.
Right.
And that would make it worth it to buy both versions of the game.
Now, if they'd had the technology back then to find a way to link them up and switch the characters around like a Pokemon game.
They did that for the Sega CD game.
Mm-hmm.
Rage in a Cage. How about that?
Interesting.
20 wrestlers. They had both head shrinkers, the Nasty Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Big Boss Man. Money Incorporated as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And among several others. Unbloody believable.
Indeed.
So, I got TNA Impact on my screen right now.
All right.
So I can take a look at what's going to happen to it. Here's a funny spot for you that's going to be coming up soon.
All right.
Team 3D is going to attack the X Division again.
I won't spoil it. I won't spoil it. You'll like what happens.
Actually, I think I'm going to turn it on right now. Let's see what's on a live program, TNA Impact. Uh-oh, here we go. I love what they have on their shirts right now. X sucks.
Yep. Ah, the promo's only just starting. We can.
And
come on,
out
Bubba,
comes the machine guns.
Chris Sabin is my hero. Oh, wait.
He's also the world's greatest inventor. But give me Shelly. Wait, did I say that out loud? Oops.
That's all right. Hail.
Oh, Shelly's got the mic.
Always a good thing.
Did you hear that?
No, I've seen this promo.
Oh. I get it on live right now. And it is Nemesis Exercise.
Indeed.
I think this would set up a great feud. Machine Guns versus Team 3D. This would really put them over and probably in line for a title shot. It also represents the fact that Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley are two sexy beasts. Oh.
Did you say that for me?
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to disagree. I've been fortunate enough to get my picture with those two sexy beasts at the same time while they both had their shirts off. Thank you.
I bow down to you. You're one lucky woman. Oh, wait, we're on the archive now. Woohoo!
But for anybody who does want to see that, if for anybody listening on the archive, please go to my MySpace page and go into my TNA photos where you see my face. Where Saban looks quite proud that he has his shirt unbuttoned, and Alex Shelley's standing there like, maybe I shouldn't have my shirt off.
Look! Look, Ma! No tables!
Ah.
Ah, Triple X!
Oh, it gets better.
Boom! Hey, where's Jay Lethal in all this? Oof! Super Friends, attack! You still there? Nikki? Hello? Damn. Well, that's going to do it for me. Well, here it is. Live and in living color. The sound. And with that ends the show. So, for Nikki Heyman, who departed, I'm Robert Seidelman. Peace!